Bereshis chapter 4. So after we have the creation and the organization of nature, we had the creation and organization in the most basic sense of culture, which is basically that man is born, created out of dirt, and he returns to that dirt. He dies. In between, he marries. Marriage is to have children. The children were not mentioned yet in the previous chapter. It was more about the more basic sense of one human being who dies and who works and who reproduces and marries a woman. Now, in this chapter, we get to the next stage, which is that this man has children. And once there's children, there's a more complex culture. We have to talk about how people organize their societies. We have to talk about who works in what ways, who has what jobs. These are all things that are an even broader sense of society. And it's pretty clear to me that all of the stories here about Cain, Hevel, Shais, which are the three children of Adam and Chava, are meant to be read as archetypes or as basic tensions that exist within human society. The moment you have two brothers, the question is, who is the one? Who is more important? The first one, Adam and Chava, the first man and woman, don't have any two. There's only duality in the sense that there's a man and a woman, and that duality already caused enough problems. But once you have a group of people, you have children, you have brothers, then we start having all the stories about brothers and all the different ways of organizing society. So I will tell you the story that it says in this story and some pointers to what I think it might be referring to. I am pretty sure, and I think this is a level of pshat, this is not even the level of drash, that these stories are not meant, whether they happen to have happened to the first two brothers in the world, that's not really the question. They're definitely not meant. It's not like you were curious what happened with the first two brothers, so let me tell you. There is something basic about brotherhood, or something basic about children, or something basic about creating cities and creating wider, broader political, social arrangements, which these stories are really about. So the story starts, man, Adam, the man. Adam has, of course, two meanings. Adam, the first man named Adam, and Adam, the man, knew his wife, Chava. So you have Ishto, which is the general term for the Isha, and Chava, her personal name, her proper name. This is interesting because Adam isn't, there isn't Adam, Adam, right? There's Chava Ishta, but there isn't Ish Adam or something like that. So she gives birth to a son named Cain. This son is, this word is supposed to mean something. It's the person that gives a meaning. It says, Vatoimer Kanisi Ishes Hashem. I have bought or created. Kanisi, I think, is not really about buying. I think it's something more like establishing, and maybe even koine, which you use for buying, is an imitation of that. So like koine shmaivod, it's the establisher of heaven and earth. So konisi esh is something like, now I have established a man with Hashem, with Yudke Vavke. It seems to be somewhat a response also, as I just said, if you read it, there should have been a ish, since we have Isha, which is Me Ish, should have been Ish Adam Yoda Eschave Ishtai. But now suddenly the Ish is transferred to Cain. So Cain is something, and this has to do with how mothers relate to their sons, and somehow where he replaces the Ish, or he becomes the Ish that she has established. So before that, she was just the woman taken from the side of the man. Now she has created a man. She's established a man along with God. Now she, in addition, she had his brother Hevel. And of course, again, this pasuk doesn't give a reason for why Hevel was called Hevel, but I think it's pretty obvious. We can understand, and also the word Vatoisef Leledes. It's like this is another one. And Hevel means breath or ear or something, like Alice would say Hevel Avolim. There's something extra or something unnecessary about Hevel. He doesn't have the like establishment. He's not an ish or like a man like Cain. And this is actually expressed in these two people's jobs and historically in culture. There's a huge conflict between the pastoralist and the agriculturalist and the farmers, or even the city people, as we see later. Cain is not only a farmer, he's a city person. In other words, he's a sedentary person. He lives in one place. He has a farm, he has a house. Hevel is a pastoralist. He has sheep. And that means also he doesn't have a place to live. This is part of his being Hevel. It's part of being like not being rooted, what like the anti-Semites would say, is a rootless cosmopolitan, or as it's known in the ancient world, a pastor. Now, it come a time, now that's just the setting, the first story. It came a time, at the end of some days, that's also a very interesting expression, like at the end of days. That's Medrash reads this as something like after the season was over or something like that. But like after some time, Cain brings a mincha l'Hashem mipri adama, since he is the worker of the earth. And of course, you remember that this is the job of the man after he was cursed to work on the earth. He brings a gift, mincha, a gift to Hashem from his fruits of the earth. And Hevel, as he was born as a gamhi, v'toysef ledes, he's also in his sacrifice, he's a gamhi. V'toysef Hevel hevi gamhi. Hevel also brings something, and he brings from his choice sheep, from his choice and now here we have God making an interesting choice. First, 5 seconds ago, Cain was Kanisi Ishes Hashem. He was the one that gave Chava the feeling of like, you know, like I accomplished something, I created, built something. Vayisha Hashem El Hevel Vel Menchosai. And Hashem actually seems to have turned to Hevel and his gift, and to Cain and his gift, he did not turn. It doesn't say here what this means. This seems to be the source of the concept of a carbon, bringing gift to God. It doesn't mean what it means that he brought mincha l'Hashem. What does that even mean? Of course, we're meant probably to read it in some sense, like we know later, a carbon is something like you put it on the altar, put it on mizbeach, you burn it, or you just put it there and you present it. But it doesn't say. These are just like implied things. And it doesn't either say what it means, vayisha Hashem. What are we meant to read when it says God turned to one's gift and not to the others? Like, what did he do? Well, it seems like something, again, referring to something that we should know from later, from how karbonos work, that there's some sign, there's a way to know if God is happy, if God is merutzeh with your karbon. And Cain is very upset. And now God speaks to Cain. This is the second person God ever spoke to. And the first person that ever spoke back to God, as we'll see in the next sentence. But the first thing is that Hashem tells Cain, why are you upset? And he gives him a cryptic answer, like verse, for why he shouldn't be mad. And it has definitely, this verse definitely has two sides. It says, Im taitiv says, nobody knows what this exactly means. It basically seems to say, in some sense, if you will be good, if you will do good, things will be good. If you will not be good, then there is chatas, there is evil, or there is sin, or there is something wrong sitting at your door, and you can't control it. So you could read this however you want. It seems to also echo the words that Hashem told Chava, his mother. And here it's different. It's there's this chatas that was the shuka. And we could, if we read it earlier, it's something like submission. So he's really submissive to you. But you can control, you can be sovereign over this chatos, whatever that is. So it seems like Hashem is telling Cain, it's not me that's not turning to your carbon. It's something what you did and it's under your control. Now there's another interesting section. And Cain told Hevel. It doesn't say what he told him or what happened. And this is apparently a structure in the Tanakh. Sometimes it says something like someone told the other person. It doesn't say what he told them. We're supposed to assume that he told them what Hashem told him. And there might be like an implied discussion or implied fight. He gets into a fight with him, as the next pasuk says, or actually the same pasuk. And they were in the field, and Cain stood up and killed Hevel. Apparently, he spoke to him, and somehow that turned into a fight. Somehow it turned into a murder. So now we had the first murder in history, or the first paradigmatic murder in history. One brother killing another brother, one of them being a shepherd and the other one being a farmer. The farmer killed the shepherd. And over the love of God, over one saying, God seems to love you and not me, and therefore I want to kill you. So you can understand yourself to what this is. How this is a sign for many murders or many conflicts in history. Now Hashem gets involved. Vayemer Hashem El Kain, where is Hevel? And this is another one of the like, Ey, Ayeko, Ey, Hevel, Achicha, where is Hevel? And again, like, ask a question that maybe he knows the answer to. Or in any case, it's a question that is meant to say something. It's not meant to be taken literally. And the Kain seems to understand that, but he does play as if it says taken literally. He says, I don't know. Am I his watcher? Do I watch him? Am I his guard? And you can understand what this means. And then God says, what have you done? Their brother's blood is screaming to me from the earth. This seems to be a very literal thing. We learned the Parsha of Egla Arifa, which is about lechaper al aduma, to be mechaper on the earth from the spilled blood. And this is also one of the most important things for humanity. Like we discussed, that all these things are supposed to be basic things for human beings. So one of the things is that it's bad to kill a human being. Later, after the Mabel, we see explicitly that we said a man is created by tzelem elohim. That means that there's something wrong with killing him. It's not like animals, which there's a discussion if humans were allowed to kill animals before the Mabel. But in any case, there isn't something wrong with him. There isn't like a blood that is screaming or shouting or really tzak. It means to have an argument, something like to bring a legal complaint against someone, something sometimes called tzaka. So, and therefore, and remember the Adama is where the man was taken from and where he was sent back to work. And it seems like once you're doing that, one thing you can still not do is murder. And if you murder, then the Adama is back mad at you or bad in a bad relationship with you. And therefore, Cain gets doubly cursed. You will be cursed from the earth who has opened her its mouth. It's interesting, in Korach we have a Yiftiftach Adama Aspia. Here we also have its mouth. Of course, it's apparently this is about burial, and Ufatoshev also seems to have been about burial. Man is buried in the earth when he is killed, and maybe Cain buried Hevel or something like that. Although not necessarily, it could be just his blood was soaked into the ground. But since this Adama has now soaked with your brother's blood, this Adama will not give you its power. And not only will it not give you its power, you'll also not have a place in it. Nova not tiev oretz, you will not have a settled place to live. And remember, Cain was the one that's kanistias tashasem. He's the one that's over the Adama. He wants to be like a settled person. He wants to be brute. I have my place. And because he murdered, he lost that. And this is something basic that human cities or the stability of human society is based on not murdering. Once there's a murder, then there's no city, because a city is basically a group of people that have come together to protect each other from murder. That's what we have later, Ure Miklat, which is about this. And now Cain is not happy. Cain says, okay, so you outlawed me. This might connect with Vlaytaitiv Sa'es. If you've been good, you will have something, you can be carried. And now my sin is too great to be carried. Too great to be carried means I have no one to carry it. So a person carries his own character, his own actions. But this seems to be too great for me to carry because you've banished me from the Adama. In other words, you said, you will not have a place. And Upanecha says, I will be hidden from your face. In other words, I will not have your protection. And now I'll just be able, anyone who will find me will kill me. So this is very true. This is what happens. Once you open up murder, now why wouldn't someone else murder you? You were protected by something like Pnei Hashem, something like Adam is B'Tselem Elihim. It's not acceptable. We don't murder humans. But once you are murdering humans, and then you lost it, and now this is what Cain is complaining. Like my punishment, it does fit the crime, but he seems to be complaining that it's too much. And therefore, Hashem gives Cain some answer to that. He says, "Lachen kol hoyre Cain shivosayim yukam." Ve'osam Hashem leKain ois tevil teirikoyis esklanse. He gives him a sign. This is very similar to Ur Miklat. Ur Miklat is basically someone who has broken the taboo against murder, whether it was on purpose or on purpose, whether it was b'shoygig v'meiz, it was premeditated or not. It still breaks the taboo about murder. But since someone has some kind of excuse, if someone has some level of justification, and here he doesn't really have justification, it just seems to have asked God and gotten something he asked, you get some protection. So you're not going to be entirely an outlaw who's not under the protection of the law or under the protection of the city. You will get something. Whoever kills, someone will kill you, he will be sevenfold revenge. That's how I read Yukam. He will be revenged. You will be revenged sevenfold. The way I read this is that if you become an outlaw, then you have to have a very strong deterrence. So as long as you're protected, it's like we don't kill. Or maybe you'll get some judicial punishment. If you're outlaw, then you have to kill seven times. You have to have a seven-time revenge or a threat of a seven-time revenge, which will scare people from just killing you. And then Cain actually leaves with Bnei Hashem. In other words, he gets even further. So Adam has moved out of the garden. They've moved to the east. Cain seems to move even more to the east in some place called Eretz Noit, which is Kidmas Eden, also to the east of Eden. Okay. So the gun was in Eden, and this is to the east of Eden. That's the story of Cain. And like I said, this is something very basic about how what happens to murderers or what kind of thing murder is. But Cain still has children and grandchildren, and we have a long story of Cain's descendants, which ends, and this interesting question, what happens with it? But anyways, Cain has also, just like his father Adam, Vayeda Cain is Ishtar, he has a son Chanoich, and he creates a city. So this is my proof that Cain is the one that creates a city. He calls a city in the name after his son Chanoich. Apparently there was a city known as that. We have to find out which city this is referring to. And then he has, Chanoich has Irad, Michiel, Mishistol, Lemach. This is the last person in the chain of Cain that we know about, Lemech, and it talks a little bit about Lemech. Now, Lemech is the first one who had two wives. This might be something bad about him. Doesn't say clearly. He had two wives, Adah and Zilah, and these two wives had two children also, who are the fathers or the sources of two very important cultural institutions. Yuval is the father of people who sit in tents and mikna and have animals or property, which is mostly domestic animals. Of course, Hevel was Reuel's son, but remember, Hevel is dead. So now he becomes the Aviya Shevel Mekna. And Yuval is the father, which means like the founder of people who sing, people who play music, Kinner V'Ugav. Then Tzila, these are the two children of Uda. Tzila has a son, Tuval Kain, named after Kain apparently, Tuval Kain. And he is the father, doesn't say the father, but he is Loitesh Kalachosh because he's a smith. He creates bronze or copper and iron. So this is another very important thing. Of course, there's a question about this, what does it exactly mean historically. But in any case, the important tools. So the most three important tools of society, which are, apparently maybe Yuval is the tools or the institution of how shepherds, how pastors, live in their tents. Yuval has created an institution of music. Seems to be very important enough to get a whole pasuk here, and the institution of working with metals. And Tuval Kain has a sister Naama, so this is on the first and one of, there's few daughters mentioned in these kind of lists. Now there's a little poem. I think actually that until now there were also some little poems, but most people count this as the first poem of the Bible. Has a very clear poetic structure. Anyone that knows about the poetic structure of Tanakh, it always has this like double structure. And here's the poetic structure. Lemech has this little poem that he tells his wives. He says, Oda and Zilah, listen to me. The wives of Lemech, listen to me. Says the same thing twice, in different words in Hebrew. Why? Ki ish harakti lefitzi v'yelad l'chabrisi. I've killed a man for my wound and a child for my wound. Again, this means the same thing. But what he seems to be saying is, and he finishes and he says, Kishivasayim yukam kain, because Kain will be revenged sevenfold, and Lemech 70 and 7. He seems to be saying, this seems to be Lemech speaking as men are wont to do, in front of his wife, saying how strong a man he is. If someone starts up with him, he will kill him sevenfold time. Or maybe he already has killed a man, not even for killing him, just for wounding him. Or maybe even a child for wounding him. Maybe Chabura is even less than Petzah or something like that. That's the simple pshat. And this is all to describe a character of Cain. This is what happens with Cain. These are the like very strong cities, civilization, creating instruments, musical instruments, and possibly agricultural instruments for Achodesh Sevarzla, maybe also swords and war instruments and so on. Now we have the third child of Adam. We have another son called Shais, and the meaning for Shais is given me or put to me. seems to be related to the word kain also. Like if I kain is like halay avicha konecha, it says in Shira Sazina, like he has created, established you, I read. Shais also means something like establishment, right? The hashisas yeres and the establishments or the foundations. And God has established me another child, tach instead of hevel, which who kain has killed. So shais becomes really the establishment, as we'll see later, how his descendants are really the ones who continue the world. And Shais himself has a son called Enosh. Interestingly, Enosh is another word later for a man. And this seems to be the final word in this set of stories. In other words, if we start and the next chapter starts so we have very clearly the beginning and the end of a story here, although I have divided it into two parts, the story of the Gan Eden and the story of the children of Adam, Cain, Hevel, and Shais. The Torah, it seems to be one long story. And as it started with giving names to the animals, so it finishes with giving a name. And the name is given to God. This is, Enosh is the one, or in his day, people started calling God, or whatever exactly this means, in the name Yitke Vavke. And of course, this is very clear because in the first story, and pretty explicitly, we don't have this name, and God doesn't really have a name. It says Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. And Elohim is a generic title. Elohim is not a proper name. But Yitke Vavke is a proper name, and it seems like this story is about that.